welcome to episode 225 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, and our favorite experiences, and lots more. We would love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and Laura. We here at Outlander Travel believe that drinking is an art form, and like all fine art, it deserves to be appreciated in the proper setting. What could be a more befitting setting to experience tropical adult beverages than a bar designed to invoke memories of a mythical bygone era? And with that, let's hear about Lindsay and her tiki bar obsession.
Well, first, I just want to say that if you're listening to this and you're thinking, did they say tiki bars of the Bay Area? That is exactly what I thought as well, because I would have never... Like, I wouldn't have even thought to. So I want to know, before we talk about the actual tiki bars, how did you hear about this phenomenon? Because it is a phenomenon. Now that I know about it, I've heard about it all over.
So I've kind of always been drawn to kitschy tiki stuff. I don't even know when it really started. I could blame it on Trader Sam's or the Tiki Room or Jungle Cruise or any of that stuff. Maybe that's part of it. I recently just came across some very old tiki mugs I had purchased for Josh that he didn't appreciate at all from Ron John's store shop. So I've kind of always been into the kitsch of it. It's kind of a fun thing. I mean, who wants to go to just a plain old boring bar when you can go to a tiki bar?
But how did you find out they were all over the San Francisco Bay Area? I mean, like,
oh, because everywhere I go, I always look for a tiki bar.
Okay.
So it's part of my research when I travel myself. I mean, I already have for my next four trips, I have tiki bars lined up every trip.
Really? Are we going to one next month?
Is there one in Fairbanks?
Fairbanks, Alaska. If there's a tiki bar in Alaska, I will find
it. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. No, I like them. I mean, it's a nod to an era that never really existed to this.
This is like you guys and your drama. Like, you know.
What?
I mean, like, you theater. Guys are all I work with a bunch of theater geeks and
Yeah. You mean theater. You don't mean drama. Drama is different. Drama is like drama llama. That's what I thought you meant.
No. I mean, all you theater geeks who love this kind of
There's plenty of drama in the life of theater.
All right. I'm not going to deny that.
Laura's going to back me up.
No, it's true.
Actually, California has the most, I would say, the most tiki bars in the U.S.
So, pardon my ignorance, because I've been in tiki bars, and I sort of know the concept, but is there sort of a rule for, like, what makes a tiki bar? Like, is there some sort of element? Is it that you have to have these carved mugs or that you have to have the light?
Yeah. So here's where I need to put my disclaimer out, so when my really truly geeky tiki friends listen to this, they don't think I'm calling myself. I am in the world of tiki. I am a newborn babe.
So there's some legit tiki culture out there, right?
To a lot of the people, this culture goes very deep. Very, very deep. And some of the tiki mugs are so highly collectible that these people have really deep pockets to be scarfing them up. In fact, there was a Tahitian pearl put out by one of the tiki bars that I really wanted. I went on eBay to see what it was going for. I got a real Tahitian pearl for less money than it would have cost me to buy a ceramic one from this tiki bar. So with that in mind, there are some very hardcore tiki enthusiasts. And I think it's more of what I look for in a tiki bar myself, I can speak to. I look for authenticity. What's the feel to it? I've been in tiki bars where you walk in and it just feels like it's a warehouse where they put up some tiki decor and they put a grouchy bartender behind the bar and there's some hipster kids at the bar and there's really no good vibe to it. You don't get that feeling of belonging in a community that we're always kind of searching for in anything we do. And I think that's how a lot of these cults.
They have paper tiki signs on the walls.
Yeah, paper. So
that they got from Party City.
From Party City. But when you walk in and you can tell that someone lovingly and painstakingly cultivated these artifacts from all over the world and kind of placed them together and created this otherworldly experience for you to kind of step out of your reality into, it's an escape. It's just like anything else. It's an escapism. And when you pair it with alcohol, it's kind of a perfect, you know, I love nothing more than listening to tropical music while I'm drinking tropical drinks. And I want to be able to close my eyes and pretend I'm somewhere tropical. And what an incredible thing to be able to sit in Chicago and do that.
Or Fairbanks for that matter, if you guys find one there.
Where you are so far away.
Yeah, I was fascinated by that when I heard about this sort of, because it doesn't surprise me that the Bay Area would embrace something like tiki bars. I mean, it's that personality makes sense. But at the same time, it's not where I would go to look for a tiki bar, right? I just sort of assumed that they were in warmer places, so...
I got a long list and I want to give a nod to all of them because they're all completely different.
Yep. So let's go through. So we have about 20 minutes. We have a little bit more than that, but I'm fudging it so that you can, you know.
Yeah. So the first tiki bar I went to out there really wasn't in, I mean, we're going to call these Bay adjacent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Hula, so I have a really great friend who indulged my desire to do all things tiki-ish, even though it wasn't her thing. And she reached out to a friend of hers and found out about this Hula Island Grill place in Santa Cruz. And there's actually two, I think there's another one in Santa Monica, but there's two locations and they have pretty great food. But the draw for me there was they have, part of their bar area was designed by one of the tiki guys that I'm like obsessed with his tiki mug artwork. Tiki Tony. And so he designed the bar area in there. So she's like, oh, we're going to go out there. My friend told me about this. And so we went out there and we had some pretty great appetizers and food. And I took a bunch of cool pictures and it was kind of more of like a restaurant feel in one area. And the banquet area was just really well done in tiki. It's kind of what I would call like a moderate type tiki. It wasn't all, it wasn't extremely over the top themed. But yet it had a great feel to it. And then from there, we went out to, we went to Contiki in Oakland, which was kind of neat. Had a great little local crowd in there the night we were there. A little bit more just like a regular bar with some tiki
stuff
atmosphere to it, you know. But the bartender, I think, made that experience. The drinks were fantastic. And I brought home a mug from every place that had a mug for sale. It was there.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, I know.
But my favorite, and we're going to get to it right now because it's before we actually get into the Bay Area, but is in Alameda, is Forbidden Island Tiki Lounge. And I didn't get to spend a lot of time in there, but it was love at first sight tiki bar moments where it just looked like this little shack in the middle of a subdivision, like a normal subdivision area. And then here's this street facing, there's this like what looks like an older building, but we walk in and I don't know if it was like the perfect storm of atmosphere. The bartender was so friendly and nice. And that's one thing I think I love the most about tiki bars is the bartenders are on it. They are in the moment. If they're a good tiki bar bartender, they are wearing the aloha shirt. They're feeling the vibe. It's the music is going. They've got, the old Gilligan's Island and you know, tiki themes stuff playing on videos throughout the bar. And I, you know, a lot of them will have live music and it's this kind of great atmosphere. This is the bar that I would see myself hanging out at if I lived there.
So when you say live music, what kind of live music?
Yeah, like tiki music, like
kind hula of dancers.
Jimmy Buffett?
Some of it is.
Like
some
ukuleles
of it's,
and...
I'm glad that even Lindsay can't actually define tiki, because I was like, I don't really know what this... I have an idea of what it is.
I have an idea of what...
Like steel drums?
You know why it's so hard to nail down? Because it's something that was
ukulele.
The fantasy of the French Polynesia. It's like the Americanized fantasy. And the whole time I was in French Polynesia, I was so afraid. I didn't want to bring home anything because I didn't want to be offensive to the culture. And there were so many things
kind of like Elvis in Blue Hawaii.
Yeah. So it's this kind of mythical, not really based, loosely based on, I don't know. It's hard to pin down. And I think if you ask everybody who likes tiki, they'll tell you they like something different about it.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's all the mugs. It's the mugs, because they appreciate and value some of them so much that people are making tons of money off of them. But some people, it's the, you know, the friendships and the camaraderie and standing in line for a limited edition release mug for, you know, 2 days in a row. Anyway, so back to the tiki bars. So, Pagan Idol in the Bay. So now in the Bay Area, I went to Pagan Idol, which is one of the most well-known tiki bars in that area. And I did buy probably a couple of the coolest mugs that I did bring home with me came from Pagan Idol. And their drinks were very good. They have an incredible decor in there, pretty good theming, but it's more commercialized, I would say. Feel to it than because they're really on it with the selling of the things.
So they have like a tourist crowd.
I'm gonna ask the question that everybody's thinking, but that nobody has said.
Mm-hmm.
How expensive are the drinks?
I mean
it is San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I live in the West Coast, so I'm kind of like it's not any more expensive there than it is here for me to buy a drink. So I would say 14, 15, depending on what you're getting, is a good ballpark figure to have with you. Maybe less.
Is it like Singapore Sling kind of stuff? Kind of fruit?
Yeah, you know, we're talking classic Mai Tais and zombies and Singapore Slings, and every single tiki bar has their own take on like Don the Beachcombers or Trader Vic's, the original tiki gods, I guess.
It's Hippopotamus Mai Tai.
Their own take on their recipes, and they all like to put their own spin on it. And if there's any way they can light a drink on fire, that's even better because, you know, this is drinkertainment. That's what this is.
So drinkertainment. I like that.
This is drinkertainment.
Cocktailpalooza.
So as someone whose primary experience with tiki bars is Trader Sam's, which is a Disney, you know, creation, do these tiki bars do those sorts of like skits and like whenever somebody orders a certain drink, then something happens, a bell rings or somebody chants or something like that?
So outside of Disney, I have never been to a tiki bar with a special effect. Like that. But I have been to tiki bars where the bartenders are, you know, kind of, you know, put themselves out there and like to have fun and do crazy things and show off when they're making drinks and things like that. You're more likely to see that at a tiki bar, even in Seattle, in our one little lonely tiki bar that's more of a karaoke bar, the Hula Hula. You'll see like the best bartenders, I think, in all of Seattle, the friendliest ones for sure, in that bar. So Tonga Room, I want to talk about Tonga Room because that's one of the oldest ones. It's like 1945, I think, that was put up, and it's got this big water feature in the center of the bar. Ooh. Restaurant. Extremely overpriced food in there, but it's kind of like you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go at least once, and then there's tons of people in there, and not really a place I would go to hang out like a local. But definitely something to see if you're looking to explore tiki and kind of see what the roots are. And then if they have a band in there, they'll charge a ridiculous cover to get in. So, but the band plays out on the island on the water. And Smuggler's Cove was really great. That's very well designed. I actually got to meet the owner when I was in there, and one of the owners, and I bought one of their limited edition mugs. And just stream everywhere you look, there's something to see. Kind of like Trader Sam's on steroids, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that. And it's one of the things I've always loved about Trader Sam's. I love the Adventurers Club. I love that theming that went into the heart and soul and the love that's poured into, you know, the performances in there and how you could just spend the whole night in there and do it night after night and have a different experience every time. I love that theming. And I like going into Trader Sam's and looking around and seeing things that remind me of, you know, that were from
Adventurers Club. So I like that. I like that kind of that kitschiness, and you everywhere you look, you see another punny joke, like a Jungle Cruise kind of. That's my ideal tiki bar, has just that perfect blend of funny humor and fantasy realm. And so when I was there, I had the good fortune to also run into a couple other theme bars that I want to mention, because I think Elizabeth might be very interested in one of them. So tiki bars have really opened the door wide for a bunch of other themed bars as well, to make this kind of comeback. So in the Bay Area, there is also Novella, which is a library. It has library themed rooms, and all the classic cocktails are named after characters like the Stout Finch. It's owned by the same people who own Smuggler's Cove, and the owners of Smuggler's Cove also have another themed bar in that area called Whitechapel. And it's a gin bar.
Is it a Jack the Ripper bar?
Yeah, I guess you kind of like it. It's like you're in a London subway station. Just very, I would say, more steampunky than Jack the Ripper. But it was really cool. And the whole time I was in there, I thought you would really enjoy that bar.
I would.
The drink was pretty good.
You're like, gin?
It doesn't matter. Like, that matters.
I did the Smuggler's Cove run one night. Then I left Smuggler's Cove to go to Whitechapel. And then while I was at Whitechapel, they're like, you have to go to Zombie Village. And Zombie Village had just opened up. It was 8 days old. So Zombie, which brings me back to another actual tiki bar, Zombie Village. And this is the newest tiki bar in the Bay Area. And it is the best themed, hands down. I would even go so far as to say it's better theming than Trader Sam's. I know.
My pearls!
Nikki's going to cut my annual pass off. I get kicked out of the Mickey Mouse Club tonight.
Yeah, but at least you get to go to Zombie Village when you get kicked out. So
hear me out. Just hear me out with this. So it gets my vote for best design. Not best tiki bar as in, like, I wouldn't necessarily want to hang out there all night because I didn't care for the drinks. They were okay, but they weren't like the best. I was expecting to be wowed. And again, I'm going to give them another shot because I was there on day 8, okay? They didn't even have their real menu in yet. They still had the pre-menu. They didn't even have their mugs in yet. So, but there were like aquariums in the sky, and there's like the world's largest tiki totems hand-carved into the walls in there.
Wow.
It's incredible. And it's so cool that, you know, people were already trying to steal stuff on day 8. The guy was like, he just had to bust somebody. The bouncer came back. Like, what is that? He was carrying a stick. He's like, some guy just picked this piece of driftwood up and tried to leave with it.
And where is it? Where is this bar?
So it's downtown in the Bay Area. So all these bars are kind of in little, I mean, I probably wouldn't want to, I definitely Uber.
Okay.
Uber Lyft.
Wasn't there one? Didn't you go to one that's like in a hotel?
Yeah, that's the Tonga Room.
Okay.
And you can actually stay at that hotel. I stayed at the hotel across the street from the Tonga.
Wobble home after you're done.
I had a real short walk home that night. So that had my vote for the best themed, but my vote for like the best drinks. And it was really surprising because it's not a, like, by all means, it's not the best, you know, like the decorations that are in there are like the original decorations from like the 40s, but it's a family owned bar that's been around for a long time. They're not, and they're cash only. It's Trade R Sam's. Not Trader Sam's, it's Trade R Sam's. Been around for longer than Trader Sam's.
Interesting.
It's in San Francisco. It's cash only. They do not sell mugs. They do not have food. And when I was in there, they were playing country music really loud. They had a really strong local crowd vibe in there.
Yeah.
But there's just something about this bar. And I think it's the bar owner who's also bartending while I was in there. She was so kind and friendly. And she really did have that hospitality that you would expect when you walk through the door in a tiki bar. And, you know, it was the kitschy decor and each one of the little, it's not bamboo, but it's like that rotan, you know, talk about the wood.
Mm-hmm.
They had like the archways in there and each one said like Aruba, Tahiti, you know, like there were different different islands all around the room. But I was talking to her for a while, and she was telling me the story of this bar and about how her family had had it, you know, had been in her family for generations. And she made me what was the best tiki drink I had in all of these tiki bar shenanigans I had. The banana cow that she made was amazing, but her Mai Tai was like hands down the best Mai Tai I've ever had. I don't know what she put in it. This bar has been four generations running.
You know it's good when you're like, I don't know what she put in it.
I don't know. I drink a lot of rum, so I should be able to identify it, but I couldn't even identify. Angie, if you ever listen to this, thank you so much. I had a great time.
Your bar is amazing. So that actually brings me to the scientific portion of this episode, which is, so when you do a scientific sample, when you say, this is the best tiki bar in all of San Francisco, that means you probably have had the same drink at all of those bars so that you can compare them. So first of all, what is your drink of choice? Is it the Mai Tai?
So personally, I just want to preface this with the Mai Tai is not my personal favorite drink. It is my personal favorite drink for testing out tiki bars.
Okay.
Because if they can't make a good Mai Tai, that's not a good tiki bar.
Yeah.
But after that, I tend to go for like coconutty things or banana-y things.
Or things that you set on fire.
Without trying. Yeah, drinks that are set on fire or come in really cool mugs. That's what gets me. And all I have to say this, and I'm going to be flayed alive for it. As much as I love the atmosphere in Trader Sam's and in the Grog Grotto, and the Enchanted Tiki Bar in Disneyland and in the Grog Grotto, the drinks are crap. I mean, there's some good drinks on that menu, but they're few and far between. And the rest of them, it's all like a pre-mix thing or whatever. When I had the drinks, every drink that she made me at Trader Sam's was hand-mixed in front of me.
That's important.
She was fresh mixing this stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is not, you know, so I will say that, you know, her decor might have been the oldest from like the 30s. So they were the original tiki bar. They were the first one. But it was the best hands down drink. And if drinking is what you're doing, you want to go where the good alcohol is. So I think that's where I would start. And her prices were really good.
Well, like actually, that good alcohol rule means that you can keep drinking too. Because I can tell you that one of the sickest times I've ever been was actually at
Trader Sam's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to switch to beer.
Because of the sugars and the mixes and things like that. Yeah. And some of that's my age. I'm just going to go ahead and admit that. But, you know, because it used to be that I could drink all that, but now you can't. Yeah. And it does. It makes a really good cocktail.
Yeah, her bar opened in 1937, and it has always been a tiki bar. And they actually that family owns another bar, I think Pacifica, but that bar has always been a tiki bar. So I think that's older than the Tonga Room, which I thought was the oldest, but that's the Trade R. Sam's is the oldest in that area. And I will be back there for drinks again. So that's definitely...
Should we even ask how long you were in San Francisco?
How many days?
3 hours.
I really don't want to tell you because I feel like I'm going to be heavily judged. Another thing you need to know about tiki bars, if you're new to this and you're trying to, I'm going to go out.
How many days?
They do not open until 4 or 5 as like a rule. Some of them restaurant or like in a hotel, they might open a little earlier, but for the most part, tiki bars don't open till 4 or 5. So it really puts the crunch on how much time you have to experience.
Lindsay,
things.
How many days?
Do I have to answer that?
Yeah.
So I went out one night tiki barring before we went to Tahiti.
You were pre-tiki bar?
I pre-tiki barred before my Tahiti trip. And then on the way back, I spent 2 nights. So
3 nights total.
I had 3 nights and I experienced more bars than we talked about.
2, 3, 4.
And I had at least two drinks in every bar.
Did you get a mug though? How many mugs did you come home with?
That is impressive. This is like a hashtag life goal kind of thing. That is really impressive.
That your whole scientific thing just went out the window.
Yeah.
What?
No, she might have been spitting.
I had at least 2 drinks in every bar.
I did. I
so
didn't.
Now your rating is just
tasting like crap.
Yeah.
They're not going to out the places where the alcohol tastes
like crap. I'm backing you. That's like, what, 3 bars per night? That's not bad.
two drinks a bar.
If you start at like four, though, you know,
that's reasonable. And the bar she didn't tell us about.
I'm feeling heavily judged here.
Yeah, I'm not judging you. Laura is totally judging.
Mad props, Lindsay. Mad props.
Vibe coming from my
No, no. I think that that is very impressive.
I think that's honestly, good research time there. Yeah.
As much as we joke about, you know, being experts in drinking, it's hard work. I mean,
it is hard work. It is difficult too. You know, there's something to be said for being able to stay up late.
Yes.
Then again, I'm also the same person when we were in Ireland, Elizabeth, that went to two whiskey tastings and a gin tasting in the same day.
Yes, I remember.
And tweeted them around our tour.
You were also the person who stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning every night, which is really impressive because we made you get up in the morning every morning. So it wasn't like you were sleeping in. So, yeah, those days are long gone for me.
She's the youngest of all of us, too.
She is the youngest of all of us.
I think Kristen
might be younger.
Oh, we didn't talk about this when we talked about Bali, but I did find a tiki bar in Bali, and I bought a tiki.
I know, I went.
Ooh, yay!
Nice.
So, Donna, do you see what all the fuss is about then with tiki bars? I mean,
that really wasn't a good representation of a tiki
bar. I wouldn't say that was a good representation. Okay. It was more a rooftop bar that kind of just the bar area had some, like, banana leaves and things like that around
it. I mean, to
it.
Be fair, when you're in Bali, everything's a tiki bar, right? Technically. Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said the whole time I drank throughout the South Pacific. Everything's a tiki drink. Every drink, I was taking pictures of all my drinks.
For science!
I was drinking beer most of the time. She was drinking cocktails. And then one night, I was not in the mood. I'm like, you know what? I just want a smoothie. So.
Oh gosh! Oh. We drank three of those.
I'm totally judging Donna now for giving up on the alcohol. So judging. No, I have to say, if there was something that was going to appeal to me about tiki bars other than just a fun atmosphere, which of course you always would like, it's the handcrafted part of it. Yeah. You know, nothing beats a handcrafted cocktail. So that does definitely appeal to me.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about opening up in Carlisle now.
Yeah. Ooh. I bet there is. So that's what I'm like, I'm going to New York next week. I'm wondering if I could find a tiki bar. I bet I could.
This should be like our thing.
It's New York City. Of course you can.
I'm sure I can. Yeah. The question is, can I stay up late enough to experience?
At the tiki bar?
What'd you say?
Gonna go hang out with your new buddy of the night, RB.
RB.
The person who invited you.
Richard Branson.
Oh. Yeah, I guess. I don't think I'm going to be able to stay up later.
We're going to have to get Heidi to hashtag this Richard Branson so that he invites her.
Oh, that's what you mean. Oh.
That guy, yeah.
That guy. Sir. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Now if a cruise ship would put a tiki bar on board?
I don't know, Lindsay. I think it should be a challenge to find one in Fairbanks. I mean,
I'm gonna look. I look at where it goes, so
yeah.
I'll get right on that.
You know, I have to say too, like Lindsay is one of these people that makes me go to Trader Sam's because they have certain mugs that you can't buy for just one person. She's like, they won't let me order it unless there's two people to drink it.
But that's true. She's not lying to you.
You gotta stay here so I can order it.
She's not lying to you because I actually did that for somebody because I don't drink rum. And she's like, would you split this with me so I can get the... And it wasn't Lindsay. Would you split this with me so I can get it? And I did. And that's when I got really sick. Of course, part of that is because I can't drink rum. But I know a lot of it, too, is the sugars and the... You know, there was so much in that drink. It's the one that they set on fire with the sugar cubes in the middle, the volcano one.
Yes.
It's beautiful, but...
Well, there's also a great little tiki bar in Cocoa Beach.
Oh.
So.
Cool.
So next time you go down there for a cruise and you're going out of Port Canaveral, there's a cute little tiki bar down there called, I think it's called Mangoes.
There's a couple. There's a couple in my, you know, and I'm really I was really disappointed, but my friend who I'm going to see while I'm in Texas said that they found a tiki bar. So
woohoo!
And Lindsay, I found you one too on in Myrtle Beach. We went at Christmas. Down to Merle's
Inlet. She was going to say Pittsburgh. I just knew she was going to say Pittsburgh.
I could probably find one.
No, but that's how she's going to get me to Pittsburgh.
This is a really cool area, though, in Merle's Inlet, which is like south of Myrtle Beach. It's where all the mom and pop seafood places are. And you go, they have this place called the Marsh Walk. And you basically are walking behind all the restaurants. And there's a tiki bar. I took a picture on Christmas and I tagged you. But yeah, I'm totally. I mean, there's tiki bars all over Myrtle Beach. Come on.
So, I had no idea.
I just Googled it and it came up with the 17 best tiki bars in New York City.
I'll send you that list.
There's some good ones in New York.
Yeah.
There's some good ones in Chicago. I'm looking forward to seeing in June when I'm in Chicago.
Actually, I mean,
there's one called Otis's Shrunken Head. I think you need to go there.
I think I'm more interested in the steampunk concept. So I'm going to have to, I'll search that as well. But
so we'll have to get together because what got me hooked. I know what got me hooked on this tiki bar thing. It has nothing to do with tiki bar, but it's a theme bar in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There is a bar called the Safe House, and it's spy themed. And it has all these levels to it. And it's known as the world's only puzzle bar because the walls actually move at different times. Mm. And there's a secret entrance to it. And you have to know a password. And if you don't know a password, you have to do funny things. And you don't realize you're being videotaped and being broadcast to the whole bar. And there's like a Mata Hari outpost in the women's bathroom so you could spy on your dates. And
that reminds me of this. Bar
There's
Myrtle
like
Beach.
A poster of naked Burt Reynolds on the wall.
Oh, I know that picture.
A little metal heart over his hand. And then it's a flap. So when you flip it, an alarm goes off in the whole bar so everyone knows that you're looking at his junk.
That's what I was going to say. There is a bar, it's torn down now, in Myrtle Beach called the Sandy Monkey. And in the ladies' room, there was some kind of picture like that. And if you flipped it up, like a light went off and everyone knew when you came out.
That really got me. I mean, that's where I bought my first, because you could buy glasses. And when Josh was going to Iraq, I threw a going away party for him there for all our friends. And I had the guy pretend like there's something wrong with our credit card and take him in the back room. And they took him downstairs. And I paid for this, what's called the Hail to the Chief drink. And this is big giant glass of the presidential symbol, but it's all done over for the safe house of this liquor concoction. Well, anyway, they put him in a chair in this room with just like the swinging light, like he's gonna about to be interrogated. And all of a sudden we're up in the bar and the music starts playing and the floor opens up and he comes up through the floor and he was but while they're playing a video of like Hail the Chief and all this really cool. So for like $25 you can embarrass the crap out of your loved one. One of these ceremony, I don't even know if they still do it, but one of these ceremonial drinks, it was totally worth every penny.
I'm making a mental note never to go to a bar with Lindsay if I don't
really
know what it's like.
And they have a bartender that's a magician, so they do the magic tricks. And I just need extra. I'm extra. I can't just drink. I need special. I need drinkertainment.
Yeah, I do like drinkertainment, actually. I like any kind of entertainment, really. So, yeah, it definitely appeals. But I don't know. The tiki theme doesn't speak to me, but the steampunk totally does. Totally does.
Yeah,
so.
You would love Whitechapel. There's a couple other ones that are steampunk themed that I'll send it.
Nice. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Obviously, we could keep talking about this forever. But,
we could keep drinking.
Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments or your drinking moments with us on our Facebook
page.
Which
are usually life-changing.
Yeah,
actually.
They can be.
Very often.
Yeah. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you next time. Gotta fly.